on the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. A couple of short halachas before we get into the meat of where we're going today. And let's not forget the Ayin Beis Amud Beis with the start of the new parak. We have to learn what happened to Rashi. Rashi is going to split into two parts. The part you can read and the part you can't read. And unfortunately, the part you can't read is the part that you need. As we'll see when we get there. But first of all, just a short segment on the pre-Omer cutting, when the pre-Omer cutting is actually permitted. Second line in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Kotzrin mipnei netios, mipnei beis ha'evel, mipnei beis ha'medrash. You're allowed to cut the grain because of netios, damage to the netios. We talked about that when we read it in the Mishnah in terms of two different explanations for what is involved in netios. Is it damage, like physical damage, that it's not going to grow well, or we talk about kilayim? My time up. But then why is it that you're allowed to cut for beis ha'evel and beis ha'medrash? Because the Torah says, Reshis Kitzirchem, the first of your cutting, Amar Achmana. That's what the Omer is. The Omer is the first of your cutting, not what you do for yourself personally. Velo Kitzir Mitzvah, but it's not necessarily the first time that you cut for a mitzvah. If you're cutting for the sake of Nicham Avelim, so that there could be a place for people to sit while they make Birkas HaAvelim from the Gemara in the beginning of Kesuvos, or the Menachim, or place for people to learn, that's a different story. What we don't do here is to define other Kitzir Mitzvah, other cutting for a mitzvah. Let's add some other mitzvah purpose for cutting. Are we permitting all mitzvah cutting? I can imagine a situation in which I need to cut grain for some other reason. Let's say I need bread for a Shabbos meal, or to give as tzedakah, so I want to cut for that purpose. Are you now going to permit it? I think the answer is no, but I'm hard-pressed to explain why once you've given me an exception for Kitzir Mitzvah in general. We said in the Mishnah, V'lo Yaseh Karichos, the Mishnah also said you're not supposed to tie them up in the normal type of bundles. Avo manichan sevasim. But you do leave them as bunches. Tosos has a little bit of a discussion about what exactly this means in Tosos Karichos. But the Gemara asks, my taima, why is it you're not supposed to tie them up in the normal way? Dekama de'efshar lo tarchinon, because to the extent possible, you don't get involved in processing it. The more you can reduce the processing, the better off you are. This is not just about cutting it for the Beis Avel or Beis HaMedrash, but it's about cutting it all the different ways, all the different types of cutting that we permitted. But now we get into the major part of the conversation. And actually, no, not yet. Almost. Mitzvah Sa'omer Lavim and Akama, sorry. The discussion first about what type of cutting you're supposed to do for the Omer, where you want to get. You want to get from the Kama, the standing grain, meaning it has to be cut specifically for the Omer. You want to get it to be Carmel, you want it to get it to be at night and all that. So we get our source first. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, the Torah says, V'im takriv minchas bikurim l'Hashem, and when you, this is an im that's a when. There are three of those, Rashi says in the Chumash. So when you bring minchas bikurim l'Hashem, it should be aviv kalui ba'esh geras karmel, which we've talked about, takriv es minchas bikurecha. I brought you that on the sheet. So mat hamad lomar, as Rashi understands it, our problem is the double use of takriv. V'im takriv and takriv es minchas bikurecha. So why do I need these two takrivs? Lefisha mitzvah ha'omer lahavi min hakama. So first of all, it's that the mitzvah is, ideally it's supposed to be from the standing grain which you cut specifically for the sake of this mitzvah. Minayin shim lo matzah min hakama yavi min ha'omer. And how do I know that if you don't have standing grain to cut for this purpose, you bring from the sheaves? Tamah omer takriv. So the Torah says takriv, bring it anyway, even if it's not what you really wanted. Davar acher, second, takriv lefisha mitzvah lahakriv lavi min halach. You need takriv because the mitzvah is to bring from the fresh grain, right? We say karmel. Uminayin shim lomatzah min halach yavi min hayavesh. How do you know that you bring from the dry if you don't have from the moist? Tamah omer takriv. Once again, takriv in any case, no matter what you have. Davar acher, alternatively, about 15 lines down, ayin beis amud aleph. Takriv lefisha mitzvah saliktzor balayla, because we said that you're supposed to do it that night. Minayin shim niktzor bayom kosher. How do I know it's kosher even if you do it during the day, which we're going to come back to in the Gemara? That's going to be the core of our discussion. V'dochas hashamas, and it also overrides Shabbos. Hamalomar takriv, takriv kol shehu, in any way, even if it means you're using the omrim, even if it means that you're using the yavesh, even if it means that you're doing it by day, doesn't matter. Takriv nikol makom, takriv afilu b'shabbos. You do it even for even on Shabbos, and takriv afilu b'tuma, and even b'tuma. All of these things are overridden. Make sure you bring the menchas haomer. Good.
The payom is which day?
Right. So actually, we're going to see based on the discussion in the Gemara that it's both bayoms. It's bayom meaning that day itself, meaning the second day of Pesach, or bayom meaning previous days. Either way, it's daytime itself. In other words, we talked about this elsewhere, and the Gemara is going to bring the quote here. The discussion is there are mitzvahs that are night specific and there are mitzvahs that are day specific, and we believe that this is night specific, and yet you can still do it by day. According to this, we're going to see it's actually a machlokes tanoim. That's not going to be so clear cut, so to speak. So the Gemara now continues to discuss this issue of whether you could really cut it by day or not. Nikzer bayom kosher. You just told me that if you cut it by day, it's still kosher, even though it's supposed to be cut that night. So the Gemara challenges that based on a Mishnah. Vatnan, we learned in a Mishnah called halayla kosher, that all night is good for the following mitzvos: lektziras haomer, for cutting the omer, ulahakir chalavim ve'ivarim, as well as to put the fats from a carbon on the mizbeach. You put it on all night. Rashi explains that he uses the term machzir, you would put it back on. We discussed that. If something falls off the mizbeach, you'd put it back on. What if it was before chatzos, after chatzos? That's already a discussion we've had elsewhere. But zeh klal, the Mishnah gives us a rule. Dover shemitzvaso kol hayom, or shemitzvaso bayom, it should really read. Kasher kol hayom. If the mitzvah is do X by day, Rashi gives you examples, shchita, zrikas hadam, then you can do it all day long. Davar shemitzvaso balayla, kosher kol halayla. If the mitzvah is at night, then the mitzvah is all night. It's kosher all night. End of quote. And katani layla dum yom. We compare here mitzvahs that are by night and mitzvahs that are by day. We put them side by side, which should teach me ma diyom balayla lo after layla b'yom nami lo. That daytime mitzvahs we know cannot be done at night. So to use Rashi's example, I can't shech the carbon at night. I can't do zrikas hadam at night. It's no good. Daytime mitzvahs are only daytime mitzvahs. And flip side, nighttime mitzvahs are only nighttime mitzvahs then. You put them side by side, you juxtapose them, that indicates that the same standard should apply. So I have a problem. My mission is telling me it's supposed to be by night, but it could be by day if you didn't do it by night. But now you're telling me it's a nighttime mitzvah, that really should mean it's only a nighttime mitzvah. So Rabba says, you're right. It's a machlokas Tanah, machlokas Rebbe, and Rabba Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Amar Rabba lo kasha. Rabba says, that doesn't bother me. Ha Rebbe, vaha Rabbi Lazar Rebbe Shimon, disanya, as the Brisa says, haya omer umakriv minchas haomer v'nitmes. If a person is bringing the omer, and it becomes tame during the process itself. Now, he already cut it, he already brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, they went through the routine of, is this a magol, and is this whatever, and they were told him, go bring it, and and it then becomes tame. So what do? Everyone's standing there waiting. Im yesh acheres. So if you have other grain you could cut now, Rashi says, afilu b'mechubar, even stuff to cut right now, and really it's specifically stuff to cut right now. Omer lo habe acheres tachteas. So we say to him, you know what? Bring other stuff, which is going to mean cutting it by day. Right? Because it's now by day. You're ready to be maybe. You're bringing your omer. V'im lav. However, if you have nothing else available, Omer lo have a tikeach u'shtok. Right? Remember the Gemara in Ksuvos, shikuseich yafa midiburech? So we tell him, look, be smart. Keep your mouth closed. They don't say anything. Divrei Rebbe. Why? Because the Omer is brought, even Bituma. So Tuma Hadra Bitsiva, absolutely. We bring it, and not just that, but we said, Takriya Vafilu Bituma. We have a specific pasuk here saying, bring it. So Rebbe says, you would cut by day. Rebbe is willing to accept cutting by day. If there's nothing available to cut by day, then just go with what you have. That's Rebbe. Whereas,
one person here knows this Tuma, nobody else does.
No, there's a small group up there who saw the Sheretz or whatever it was. Yeah. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer. Don't worry, it'll spread fast. The Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer. Benkach, Omer lo have bikeach u'shtok. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says no substitutes accepted. It doesn't matter whether you have other stuff to cut. You don't substitute anything else. You tell him, be quiet. Don't tell anybody. Just do it. Shekola Omer shenikta shaloki mitzvaso puzzle. Because if the Omer is done shaloki mitzvaso, by which he means doing it by day, it's no good. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says daytime cutting is not an option. It's too late now to start cutting new stuff. Go with that which is tamei. So it's a machlokas Rebbe versus Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon as to whether I may cut by day. What the Gemara now wants to know is, what's the basis of this machlokas? What exactly are they debating? And as I put on your sheet, there are three different approaches as to what we're going to say. The first approach is going to be that they're debating whether it must be done Friday night or not. It's a mitzvah that must be done Friday night or not. That's really one approach. A second approach is that this is the ideal time for the mitzvah, and therefore it's really supposed to be done then. And then the third approach is going to be that this, well, you know, let's walk through it in the Gemara, because the summary in advance in this case isn't a good idea. So, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, citing Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Beshitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Shel Aviv Amara. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon is the son of the famous Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right, Lag BaOmer is coming up on Sunday. For some, it's already beginning today. The Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is the son of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. If you remember the Gemara in Yevamos Samach Beis, where they list the five new Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon is one of them. Sorry,
the youngest.
Is he the youngest?
Oh,
that's a separate Gemara. That's where they talk about the 80 Talmidim of Hillel, but he's not in that. He's not in that discussion. But there are different versions in any case of who these five Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva are. There may have been as many as seven, depending on which version you have in the Gemara versus in the Medrash. But the point is, in any case, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is aware of the opinion and agrees with the opinion of his father's Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Disnan, because here's a mission in which Rabbi Akiva's view is presented regarding Malacha done on Shabbos. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's rule is the following. If a malacha could be done on Friday, it doesn't override Shabbos. This is a discussion you remember from Rabbi Elazar de Mila in the Gemara in Shabbos about which steps towards the Brismila, right, which steps toward the Brismila override Shabbos. Visavar la Rabbi Ishmael. And he follows the view of Rabbi Yishmael, he, meaning Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, follows the view of Rabbi Akiva on the one hand, Rabbi Yishmael on the other, the two usually being opposites, the Omer Ketziras HaOmer Mitzvah, who says that cutting the Omer actually is a mitzvah, and therefore it should override Shabbos. Where does he make that statement? This is the discussion, which we're going to see more of again later on, about cutting the Omer during Shemitah. He follows Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Katsiras Omer Mitzvah, Disnan, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Macharish Rishus, Av Katsir Rishus. The Torah says that the Becharishu Bakatsir Tishbos, that during Shemitah you don't do Harish and Katsir. And the question is, what exactly are you adding? We already, one second, right, hang on. Give me a moment. The Pasuk says Bacharish Bakatsir Tishbos, which we already know you're not supposed to do Charish and Katsir during Shemitah because we're told you have to leave the land entirely. So what are you adding there? This is within the understanding that Pasuk refers to Shemitah as opposed to referring to Shabbos. The Yatza Katsir HaOmer Shu Mitzvah. It's the Shi Mitzvah. It's to teach me this. There is no such thing as plowing, which is a mitzvah. Plowing is always Rishus. So I understand from the fact that you linked there plowing and cutting that the type of plowing that's prohibited during Shemitah is Rishus plowing because there is no other kind. And therefore the type of harvesting that's prohibited during Shemitah is only Rishus harvesting, harvesting for your personal needs. But harvesting for a mitzvah is allowed during Shemitah. What is harvesting for a mitzvah? The Omer. So the point here is not that discussion about Shemitah. The point is only that Rabbi Yishmael classifies this cutting of the Omer as a mitzvah, and our argument is, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's argument is, it's a mitzvah, and we're saying it overrides Shabbos. If you really were to say that if it's cut, it's still okay, then Rabbi Akiva would tell you it shouldn't override Shabbos, because it could have been done on Friday. There's your daytime that's pre. That's why I say we're talking about both daytimes. My Dachi Shabbos, why would it override Shabbos? Nitzer Me'er Shabbos, just cut it before Shabbos. So what we're putting together as Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's argument is this. The reason why the Omer overrides Shabbos is because it is a mitzvah which must be done on Shabbos, meaning Friday night, and therefore it can only be done at night. And that's where Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon says, if it becomes Tameh, you don't bring anything new. You're too late. It had to have been cut that night. Parenthetically, it's not clear that we mean this literally, that it's a mitzvah, that cutting the Omer is an independent mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch and the Smag do not list Ketzira as an independent mitzvah here. However, the Yireim does. The Yireim mitzvah, Tav Samach Dalet, actually does list it as a unique mitzvah.
More like Mashirei
mitzvah? Yes. Yeah. So it would appear.
And that's where the Machlokes is, right?
Well, about certain things, yeah. About getting married, about other things. But Mila also, that's true, actually, yeah.
You couldn't do it beforehand because it would be on Yontif.
Well, it's on Shabbos now. Are we any happier about that?
Well,
we do all sorts of things for Korbanos, whether Yontif or Shabbos, if we say that that's the obligation. So the same pasuk that's gonna permit me to override Shabbos will permit me to override Yontif.
No, but Ali's asking a good question. Is the mitzvah to do it the first night of Chol HaMoed? Why can't they do it a week before Pesach if they already have an Omer somewhere?
Right. Well, the argument will be the one we brought regarding Gagos Tzifin.
Is it no good if they do it too early, or?
Well, the same argument we brought for Gagos Tzifin, right? We said you don't want to bring it from far away because it's going to get dried out.
They're afraid it would.
It's supposed to be Carmel
during that period.
Yeah. Not even ruin, but it would dry out. Drying out doesn't ruin grain, but for our purposes, it does. So the conclusion here is Ella Midadahi Shabbos, from the fact that it overrides Shabbos, Shmamina Nitzer Shalokhan Mitzvaso Apostle, that teaches that if it was cut in a way that doesn't match the specifications of the Omer, specifically night for our purposes, then Apostle, it's no good. That's the argument. So now, that's all approach number one. Now we bring our challenge to approach number one. The Rebbe, what about Rebbe? Lav Talmide de Rebbe Shimon, who? Isn't Rebbe a student of Rebbe Shimon? Doesn't he theoretically then also know the view of Rabbi Akiva? Vatanya, I have a brisa that proves that Rebbe is in fact a student of Rabbi Shimon, even though we usually think of Rebbe as a student of Rabbi Meir. Right? Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, Rashi explains, is because Rebbe is recording that which he learned from his Rebbe, from Rabbi Meir. Nonetheless, look at this. I have a brisa of Atanya, Omar Rebbe, Kishayinu Lemaidin Torah Eitzel Rabbi Shimon B'Tekoa, when we learned Torah under Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, the place of the olive oil. Hayinu Malon Lo Shemen V'Alontis Mechatzu L'Gag V'Megag L'Karfif V'Mekarfif L'Karfif Acher Ashonu Magin L'Mayon Shonu Rochzen Bo. This is discussing the issue of transport on Shabbos, and he says that we can considered, like the view of Rabbi Shimon, we considered all of the roofs in their adjacent yards to be a single reshus, as far as Kalim that had been there when Shabbos started, and therefore you could transport from one to the other, from the yard to the roof, or roof across roof, and all that. And we did that. In fact, we went to the place where we would bathe, and we had we brought with us the oil, we brought with us the towels from point A to point B, and this is used to teach a variety of lessons elsewhere, but the point for us is, he's quoting Rabbi Shimon, talking about what they did when they learned under Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is supposed to have learned Rabbi Akiva's view from Rabbi Shimon. Well, why didn't Rabbi learn Rabbi Akiva's view from Rabbi Shimon? Why is there a disagreement between them? So the Gemara answers, because Rabbi takes a second approach. First approach was, it's a mitzvah that has to be done Friday night, and that teaches me that it must be done at night, and that's Rabbi Elazar Shimon's view. But our second approach is going to be Rebbe's approach. Savar laki idach de Rabbi Shimon. He had another lesson of Rabbi Shimon. Tisanya, the following brisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon bo re'ei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Rabbi Shimon observes that when you bring a karban on Shabbos, right, the carbon tamid, for example, you put the fats on the Mizbeach that day. You don't wait until after Shabbos is over. Why not? They could go up all night. Why are you doing this on Shabbos? He says, Kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, how beloved is a mitzvah done at the proper time. Sherei hekter chalavim ve'evarim kasherim kol alayla. Because putting the chalavim and evarim on the Mizbeach could be done any time that night. V'lo ayamamtim le'enad shetech shach. But they didn't wait. They put them on the Mizbeach right away. And the lesson is, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, it's beloved when you do a mitzvah at its proper time. This principle is invoked in the Gemara in Chulin Nun Dalet, regarding standing for the people who bring the Bikurim. They say we don't stand for Talmidei Chachamim the way we stand for people who are bringing Bikurim, because they're doing the mitzvah at the proper time. The post can bring this also halachically. The Tashbez is a classic tshuva about someone who had a son whose bris was supposed to be on Tisha B'Av, and he didn't want to do it on Tisha B'Av. And he was rebuked, because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, you don't wait, even though technically the bris is kosher on day 9, you don't wait. The Mishnah Halachas of Ben Asher Klein brings it about Pidyon HaBen on Motzai Shabbos. Shabbos. Another classic discussion, do you do a Pidyon HaBen Saturday night if day 30 is Shabbos? Or do you wait until Sunday during the day? Is Pidyon HaBen Kasher Balayla or not Kasher Balayla? They bring in this issue as well. So the argument is, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, the Mitzvah is more beloved when done at its proper time, and therefore it overrides Shabbos. So in other words, the key point for us is that it overrides Shabbos not because it's pasul during the day. It's kosher during the day. However, you're supposed to do it at the right time. Just like we do bris on day 8, you do cutting the omer on the night leading in. So Rabbi Lazar Shimon says, in the event that you don't have the omer, let's say it became tamei, then you'll cut it the next day. But if you have it, do it at the right time. That's what you're supposed to do. And even if it's Shabbos, just like Hector Chalavim Ve'evarim. That's the approach that that Rebbe takes against Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon.
But later with the Shabbat as well. If he does it Friday night, it's the same thing with Shabbat.
Right, but the point is that the mitzvah is the second night of Pesach. Or really, the mitzvah is the night of the 16th day of Nisan.
It's Friday night.
Right, that's your mitzvah. The 16th of Nisan at night is La Mitzvah. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not a mitzvah of do this on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah of do it on the 16th of Nisan at night.
Okay, 16th of Nisan is Friday night.
Yes.
But it's Shabbos as well, so you do the Shabbos as well.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, no, that's true. So that's our second point. Our second point is Rebbe's approach. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says it overrides Shabbos because it's a mitzvah that has to be it's a mitzvah that has to be done at night. That's Rebbe's position. That's Rabbi Lazar Shimon's position. Rebbe's opinion is the opposite. He says no, it doesn't have to be done at night. However, that's the ideal time for the mitzvah, and that's why we do it then. But now we come back the other way, on the top of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Lo Shmielei. Doesn't Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon know that view of Rabbi Shimon, a Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? Ella, rather, Sha'ani Hasam. He says Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is actually a much more limited rule. That case is different. The case of putting the fats on the Mizbeach. Sherei Dachsa Shchita Es HaShabbos. Because there, you're continuing a process of bringing a carbon that began with Shchita, which overrode Shabbos. And therefore, you continue to override Shabbos. But here, this is the only Malacha that's overriding Shabbos. V'Rebbe, back to Ula Rebbe, what will Rebbe say to that? Hakanami Dachsa Shchita Es HaShabbos. Doesn't Rebbe also know that Shchita overrode Shabbos? Ella, rather, you're right. We reject approach number two. It's not because of Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita that principle may not be invoked here. Then why is it that Rebbe takes this stance? Ella Kasava, Rebbe Katsiras HaOmer Lo Dachya Shabbos. The answer is that Rebbe actually believes the Omer does not override Shabbos. That's the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon versus Rebbe. Rebbe says it may be done by day, therefore it doesn't override Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it may not be done by day, and therefore it overrides Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, I have a whole lot of sources that say that it overrides Shabbos. Are you going to tell me Rebbe disagrees with all of them? And the answer is, you betcha. Below, or on the fifth line, Vatnan, don't you know our Mishnah? Right at the beginning of our Perek, we said that you bring it, whether it's Shabbos or the weekday, you bring three, and you have three people. He says, Deloka Rebbe. Yeah, that's not Rebbe. Wait a minute. We learned, V'chacham Omerim Echad Shabbos V'echad Chol B'shlosha. You have three people cutting, B'shalosh Kubos with three baskets, B'shalosh Magalos and three sickles. Yeah, Deloka Rebbe. Rebbe disagrees with that too. He's Rebbe. He can do that. U'b'Shabbos Yomer Lem Shabbos Zu. We said they have a dialogue, and he says, is this Shabbos? And they say, yes. Yeah, Deloka Rebbe. That's fine. We keep on going right through the two dots as though they're not there. Nixer b'yom kosher v'doches haShabbos. We said if you did it by day, it's kosher, and it overrides Shabbos. Man shamale damer nixer b'yom kosher. Whose view is it that says right there in that line that it can be done on during the day? That's Rebbe talking, right? Because Rabbi Elazar Shimon says it can't be done by day. So Rebbe is speaking, and he says it's done by day. Ukatani, and the rest of the line says v'doches haShabbos. It overrides Shabbos. My lad kitzira, isn't that talking about harvesting there? And it's saying that it overrides Shabbos? That's talking about putting it on the Mizbeach. That's not talking about the cutting. The cutting is not. Of but the cutting is not. Of Tanya, but wait a minute. I have a brisa in which it's Rebbe himself talking. Rebbe Omer, Vaydaber Moshe Es Moedei Hashem, Matam Lomar. Why do I need this summary pasuk in Parshas Emor to say, and Moshe told the Jews about the Moedim of Hashem? Lefisha lo lamadnu el latamedu pesach. Shnam Rabbein b'moedeu. Because I only would have known about the Karban Tamid and about the Karban Pesach overriding Shabbos because the Torah says, do them b'moado at the proper time, teaching me b'moado at the proper time, b'afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, b'moado b'afilu b'tumah, even in tumah. Sha'ar karbanos had sibur minai, and how do I know about the other communal karbanos? Tabalomar eila ta'asul Hashem b'moadechem. The Torah says, you shall do these for God on your yamim tovim. Minayim l'rabos omer v'akariv imo. That's the key. The omer is being included here in this brisa. How do I know to include the omer as well that it overrides Shabbos? Shtei alechem, the two loaves of Shavuos. V'akariv imon, and that which is brought with them. Tamad loma, meaning the frankincense. V'atamad lo, or there it's the animals by the shtei alechem. Tamaloma Vedaber Moshe's Moedei Hashem, this summary pasuk, Hakasuv Kava Moed Lakulan. All of them are called Moed, they have a fixed time, end of Brisa. So he says, wait a minute. It says Omer there. Rebbe is the author of this Brisa. And in this Brisa it says, you do the Omer even on Shabbos. How can you tell me? Rebbe believes you don't bring the Omer on Shabbos. So Lamai, what are you talking about? Ile malakrava, if that braisa is talking about putting it on the Mizbeach, you can't do that, because along with the Omer, you mentioned the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves. They don't go on the Mizbeach. Shtei Halechem, B'nei Akrava, Ninu. The Shtei Halechem get eaten by the Kohanim. Ella, rather, Pshita, Letchina, Barakanda. You must say it's talking about the processing that goes on first, the sifting of, the grinding of, and the sifting of the flour regarding the Shtei Halechem, and that it overrides Shabbos. Udekavasa, Gabay Omer, Lekasira. And the parallel for the Omer is going to be the cutting. The Kadachi has a Shabbos, and it overrides Shabbos. So Rebbe does believe it overrides Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ella, or really it should say low, like we have in the margin, Omer lahakrava ushtei alechem lahafia. The truth of the matter is, the Omer is in that Brisa, he's talking about the Omer overriding Shabbos as far as it being brought on the Mizbeach. But what's the parallel then to the Shtei Alechem that don't go on the Mizbeach? The baking of the Shtei Alechem is the parallel. Ukasava Rebbe Tanur Mekadesh, because Rebbe is of the opinion that the baking of the bread is what sanctifies it. And therefore it's parallel to putting the Omer on the Mizbeach. The baking of the bread in the oven is going to give it the Kedusha. I'afi la me esmol ifsla la belina. Such that if you were to bake it the previous day, that would then undergo lina, and it would be disqualified from use, and therefore you have to bake it that day, even when it's Shabbos. So again, we have one more point to see here, but I want to make sure that we know what we're talking about. We started out saying that you do that you can cut the Omer even by day, if necessary. We then said there's a machlokas on that point between Rabbi, who says you could, and Rabbi Lazar Bishimon, who says you can't. We explained that Rabbi Lazar Bishimon says you can't because it must be done Friday night. You don't have alternatives, like the view of Rabbi Akiva, that it must be a Friday night mitzvah. Otherwise, you couldn't do it before. If you had the potential to do it by day, it wouldn't override Shabbos. But then we said, then what's Rabbi Lazar Bishimon's position? What's Rabbi's position? And our answer is, Rabbi says, Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. We threw out Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. We said that rule can't apply here. And so we said, okay, fine. Rebbe's rule is that Rebbe believes the Omer does not override Shabbos. Omer is a daytime mitzvah too, and it doesn't override Shabbos. And Rabbi Lazar Bishimon says, no, it's only at night. We brought all these sources that said Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. We said, yeah, those aren't like Rebbe. Well, what about Rebbe's source that says the Omer and the Shtei Halechem are done even on Shabbos? That's not talking about this. That's talking about putting it on the Mizbeach. It's not talking about cutting it. And the parallel, when he says the Shtei Halechem are even done on Shabbos, is talking about baking them. And that they get their Kedusha in baking, just like the Omer gets his Kedusha when you put on the Mizbeach. V'sava Rebbe Tanur Mekadesh. But does Rebbe really believe that's true? The first of the wide lines that Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Does Rebbe really believe that baking it makes the Shtei Halechem Kadosh? But Tanya, don't you know the following brisa? Kivsei atzeres ein mekadshinas halachem ela b'shchita. The two lambs that come with the shtei alechem sanctify the bread only at shchita, when you shech them. Ketzad, how so? Shchat on lishman v'zarak dam on lishman. If you shecht lishma and you sprinkle the dam on the mizbeach lishma, kidesh alechem, then the bread becomes kodesh. Shchat on shalol lishman v'zarak dam on shalol lishman. But if you did these procedures shalol lishma, lo kidesh alechem, the bread is not kodesh. Shchat on lishman what if the shechita was lishma, but the zrika was not? Halechem kadosh ve'eno kadosh divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says it's kadosh and not kadosh at the same time. The Gemara we saw already discussed what that meant. Rabbi Lazar Bishimon Omer la'olam eino kadosh et sheyishchal lishman v'yizrok dam on lishman. Rabbi Lazar Bishimon said you require that both processes be done lishma. Our point is not to discuss the lishma v'shalol lishma and kadosh ve'eno kadosh. That's not our point. Our point is, you're told me that the Shtei Halechem acquire their kedusha at the time of the baking. Right? That's what you said to me. They acquire their Kedusha at the time that you bake them. Here it says they acquire their Kedusha at the time of the Shechita. Yeah. So which is it? So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains, Hukbu'u v'lo hukbu'u ka'amar. It doesn't mean gaining Kedusha. It means when we link together, the Zika is created for the bread to the lambs to say, you can't change the bread to be used with another animal. That's the idea. That's done at the time of the Shechita. But the Kedusha is when you bake it, is when you bake them. That's what Rebbe will have to say. End of quote there. And that concludes this discussion. So in fact, it's a machlokas as to whether the Omer overrides Shabbos. The Baitusim would be thrilled to know that someone among the Prushim is taking their position. Hanulach Rabbi Yishmael, which brings us to a new parak and a very important point regarding Rashi. When you see here on your page, I don't know if the art scroll blew it up to make it any more legible for you. No, they did not. The Steinzel presumably does. Does something to help you out if he brings both at all. But the... Yeah? Okay. But the edition that says Rashi Kaf Tav Yud, Rashi Ksav Yashan, older manuscript, is Rashi. If you take a look at the fine print above it, you see it says, Miperek ve'elu menachos ad perek shtei alechem netak b'ksav yad kodesh shal abenu b'tzal ashkenazi zatzal al gilyan ashas... Right, sorry. Shenimtza b'Yerushalayim. He says from this parak until parak Shtei Alechem is actually from a different edition. From Betzal Ashkenazi, correct. He is the compiler of the Shita Mekubetzas, and he says v'zeh lashono. This is what it said there. Zeh pirush asher hu b'tfus miperak ve'elu menachos ad Shtei Alechem eino miperush Rashi zal v'ushal parshan achir. He says that pirush which we have in the upper part here is not really Rashi. And he says, instead, v'zeh lashon Rashi ksav yashon. Here is a manuscript from Rashi. And that's classically what was understood to be really Rashi, as evidenced by Rabbi Akiva Eger, who makes a comment on, I brought you the reference here, Rabbi Akiva Eger on Ayin Ches Amud Beis brings you sources that support Rashi and the ksav yashon, and Tosfos, we're going to see on Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, is going to give you a quote from Rashi, and it's not going to appear in the regular Rashi, it's going to appear in the Rashi ksav yashon. So it appears that that's really the accurate Rashi. Oh, Ksav Yad, that's right. I don't know why I said Ksav Yashan. Ksav Yad is the correct term for a manuscript. I don't know where I get Ksav Yashan from. But that's in fact what it is. This is the Ksav Yad, and this is what we take to be the correct version of Rashi. This is also, by the way, I don't know if anyone here has been following along in Mishnayos with what we've been learning, but you may have noticed, if you do, that the previous parak, what we just read, Parak Rabbi Yishmael, appears in a standard Mishnah as Parak Asiri. As the tenth perek, not as perek shishi, and the reason is it's associated with the fact that that's where this split in the Rashi text ends. In other words, it's after we have these alternate this split in Rashi is going to be from perek zayin to perek yud. So those are all shifted one perek earlier, and this ends up being after. In any case, let's see the beginning of the new perek. Mishnah says, Ve'elu menachos nikmatzos usherein lakona. I brought you here the table, which I also gave you on the sheets when we started Daphne and Tess, that tells you all the different rules for the different types of menachos. Which ones get shemen and lavona, which ones get tenufa, which ones have agasha, and which ones have their shirayim put on the mizbeach, or given to the kohanim. So that's your chart. The bottom line in the chart is the relevant one for our discussion. He says, Ve'elu menachos nikmatzos usherein lakonim. The komets from the following menachos go to the actually, I shouldn't say it. The following menachos have kmitza done, and the remainder that isn't the kmitza goes to the kohanim. Minchas hasoles, a mincha brought out of pure flour. The ve'amachvas, as well as the one that's fried up in that pan, ve'amarcheshes, and the ones that are in the deeper pan, or covered and uncovered, depending on the conclusion of our previous discussions. Ve'achalos, as well as those baked into chalos, ve'arekikin, the ones that are made as the rekikin instead, as we've discussed already. Minchas ovde kochavim, the mincha brought by someone who isn't Jewish. Uminchas nashim, the mincha brought by a woman. Uminchas haomer, as well as the mincha brought for the omer, meaning what we just talked about. Uminchas chote, from someone who is bringing it as a chatas. Uminchas kenos, as well as the mincha of the sota. Rabbi Shimon omer, minchas chote shal kohanim nikmetzes, the komets karev la'atzma, v'shirayim kreven la'atzman. Rabbi Shimon says, not so fast. Rabbi Shimon says, when it comes to minchas chote, that's why I put lakoi, in question mark, because it's actually, I should have just written machlokes, but we'll see why I wrote a question mark in the Gemara. There he says you are doing the kmitza, but it's going on the mizbeach, just separate from the body of the shirayim.
The minchat kohen is completely burnt.
The status of the Minchas Kohen means that they don't get to eat it, but on the other hand, it's Minchas Kohen, and therefore it has to have kmitza. So therefore,
right.
you're going to burn it.
Split it into two parts, but it still goes on the mizbeach.
So it appears. So Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Kol hecha disnan eser tnan. When we learn these mishnayos, and they tell us you bring a certain mincha, you should know it's always complete sets of 10. As opposed to the view of Rabbi Shimon, Maikam Mashbalan, what is he teaching? Mila fukein Rabbi Shimon, to say that he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, damar mechze chalos u mechze rekikin yavi, who says that you could bring partly of chalos and partly of rekikin, kamash malan dela. He's saying no, a complete set of 10. We'll begin the new discussion, although we're not going to get very far in it because it's going to bring a brisa that runs halfway down the next amud. But ushiarei and lekohanim, you say the remnant after the kometz goes to the kohanim. Minalan, the Bach adds in the word minalan before the word minalan. Minalan, how do you know this? To which the Gemara says minalan. What do you mean, how do you know this? Diksiva, ksiva. When it's written in the Torah explicitly that this is going to the Kohanim, so fine. It's written in the Torah clearly, and you don't even need to ask the question. Rashi says, that for which the Torah says explicitly that Aaron and his kids are going to eat the remnant. Udaloksiva, and as far as those that are not recorded explicitly in the Torah, Ksivba, the Torah says, Vizos Taras Hamincha, Hakrevo Sab Bnei Aharon, .. Vanaseres Himena, Yochlu Aharon Vanav. So the Torah uses the term Vizos Taras Hamincha. This is the law of the Mincha, to extrapolate from the ones where it says Aaron and his kids will eat it, to teach me that's true for Menachos in general. So therefore, I don't need you to ask me Minalan. Sometimes the Torah says it clearly, and sometimes it's by extrapolation from Vizos Taras HaMincha. To which he says no, because Vizos Taras HaMincha only expands to the Menachos that are brought from wheat. Ba'achitin lo kamabayalan. Our question is not about the ones that are brought from wheat. Ki kamabayalan ba'asa'orin. Our question is, what about when they are brought from barley? Nu ba'asa'orinami. Midinik metzah sharela kohanim. Why should barley be any different? If you're doing kmitza, the remnant should go to the kohanim. No, aliba de rabbanan lo kamabayalan. Our question is not according to the view of the rabbanan. Ki kamabayalan aliba de Rabbi Shimon, damar ika mincha de mikmetzav alam is achla. The answer is, our problem is not within the view of the rabbanan. He says, within the view of the rabbanan, you're right. Across the board, anytime you do kmitza, the shirayim are consumed by the kohanim. Always. However, we just saw Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah say it's not true. Minchas chodei of the kohanim, the kmitza goes on the mizbeach, and the shirayim go on the mizbeach. So maybe that's not unique to that case. Maybe it should be applied elsewhere. That's my question. Ki kamabayalan alika de Rabbi Shimon, damar ika mincha de mikmetzav ala misachla. He says sometimes you do have a mincha for which you bring the kometz, and the shirayim are not going to be eaten. The disnat, as our Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Minchas Chodesh HaKohanim Nikmetzes, HaKometz Kar Be'atzma V'Shirayim Kreven Be'atzman. So therefore, there is precedent for saying you don't get to eat the Shirayim. So therefore, I want to know, Minalan, how do I know that for a barley Mincha, the remnant is going to be eaten by the Kohanim and not go on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara is going to bring two approaches. One will be the approach of Chizkiah, and the other is going to be the approach on the second, on Gimel Amud Aleph of Ravina. So that's the question we want to answer. How do I know within the view of Rabbi Shimon? I talked to Rabbi Vail yesterday, and he felt this is actually a good place to stop, rather than start on Chizkiah, who's going to get challenged all the way through the next Amud. So we'll pick up with that, or you'll pick up with that on Shabbos, God willing. And I will be back Tuesday.